Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In so many ways, we are right back where we started from as we stared down surging infections and hospitalizations from the coronavirus. And here's one that we haven't discussed much since the early days of the pandemic. Can COVID-19 live on frozen food? Health inspectors in China discovered the virus on imported frozen shrimp. As if you needed more things to be anxious about. Frozen food and the coronavirus. Dr. Warner Green directs the Gladstone Institute of Virology in San Francisco. So, doctor, as we said at the very top, we all have enough to worry about with this pandemic, but frozen food?
Well, good afternoon. I don't think that viral transmission via frozen food should be of great concern to people. This is a respiratory virus, not a foodborne type of virus.
So what do we think happened here? They were able to detect some on the shrimp or on the packaging or whatever it is, but
right.
Maybe it's not infectious, it's just remnants of it?
Exactly. It's most likely just a remnant of the RNA, not an infectious virus that can transmit disease.
But I can hear people out there, and I'm sure you maybe even know some, who are still, you know, they go to the grocery and they come back, they disinfect the grocery bags, and they leave stuff that doesn't need to be refrigerated, you know, unattended for like 48 hours before they touch it. And I can hear those people saying, oh, my God, now we got to worry about food, and not by eating the food, but just by touching the food.
Again, I think that there is very low risk of transmission of this virus from contaminated food packaging surfaces, et cetera. Then that's not to say that it isn't a good idea to decontaminate. I mean, the FDA has provided new guidance on that. But I must say, myself and my family, we still decontaminate, packaged goods that come from the market. It's a very small, but it's a controllable risk, and we choose to do that.
And if you don't opt to do that, what? Put the things away and then just make sure to wash your hands right afterwards?
Yes, absolutely.
I think we've all been trained to wash our hands at all points during the day.
Washing your hands is a great defense against this virus, absolutely.
So are we likely to see these kinds of reports more and more often about places where we don't normally think you might find a virus, or at least lay people don't think they're going to find it, and so maybe we shouldn't get all that worked up about it?
Right. I think that's the case. Again, the way to protect yourself against this coronavirus is to keep your physical distance from people, to wear a mask. Masking is absolutely important, particularly now that it's being recognized that there's aerosol spread of the virus. The mask can block that aerosol spread. And as we discussed, washing your hands.
When it comes to that aerosolized, is there research yet on which is more likely that you would walk through, you know, a cloud of it and pick it up? Or is it the droplets from somebody else that's still more likely to get you?
The droplets carry a larger inoculum of the virus, and therefore they're more likely to infect you. Again, you know, inoculum, the size of the amount of virus that you take in has a lot to do about with the course of the disease. So again, you would have to have a big exposure to the aerosol to get a serious infection. I think respiratory droplets are still the main concern. But one, indoors for sure, people should be masking.
Are you puzzled by the reluctance of so many people? And it's not just in this country. I was reading this morning that France is having a growing problem. So is Germany and the UK, of people who are just not wanting to wear masks. Do you find that puzzling?
Well, masking is not part of Western culture. It clearly is. Asian countries have repeatedly dealt with respiratory infections by masking. Very common, very accepted, and it's very effective. So I think that, unfortunately, masking here in the United States has become a political hot potato, and it should not have been. If there's any one single threat that this country has faced that should have unified us, it's this coronavirus. And unfortunately, there, in terms of the issue of to wear a mask or not to wear a mask, is now a political statement. And that's not where we should be.
Dr. Warner Green directs the Gladstone Institute of Virology in San Francisco.